Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So there would be some times throughout the work week when Pastor Eric would say to me or say to others in the office, you'll not see me for a little while, but then in a little while, you'll see me, or I'll be back, or something like that. And I would say, there you go with that God complex again, speaking as if you were Jesus. And then we would laugh, and he'd try to backpedal his words a little, but he knew exactly the reaction he was looking for every time he would say it. And I'm counting on him listening to this at some point in time on his sabbatical. But of course, this last week, those words would have been quite appropriate. For a little while, we won't see Pastor Eric as he's gone on sabbatical, even out of the country most of the time. But God willing, by the end of summer, he will be back here and back to work preaching, teaching, serving, and making bad jokes. But the point I'm making is this. If Pastor Eric would have said these words of Jesus, a little while you will see me no longer, and again a little while you will see me, over this last week, we wouldn't have been confused. We would have understood what he meant, and we would have, you know, wished him Godspeed and a blessed sabbatical, and I'm sure many of you did do that. But when Jesus, not Pastor Eric, but Jesus, said those words to the people he was shepherding, there was a much different response. Despite his numerous teachings regarding the subject, they were not prepared for him to leave. They were not expecting him to go anywhere. But here he was on the night in which he was betrayed. That's the scene that we have here in John 16. It's the upper room on that Maundy Thursday. Once again, though, he's telling them that he's going and not going to be seen for a little while, but that they will see him again. And what does it tell us? It tells us that they were confused. They didn't have a sabbatical policy, not even for 3 days. Jesus was preparing them for the grief that was coming. He's preparing them for the sorrow that's coming their way. Later that evening, he would be arrested, and by this time, the next day, he'd be placed in a tomb after being crucified. The disciples, even as they abandoned him, they'd be suffering. They'd be mourning. They wouldn't simply be afraid for their lives, but they would be shedding tears, asking why. Why is this happening? And mourning the loss of their friends and master. And Jesus tells them there that evening, he tells them, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Christ's enemies would think that they won. The chief priests and the scribes surely rejoiced, celebrated their defeat of this so-called Messiah. But Mary and the other women, Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples, and so many others that followed Jesus and trusted in him, the next couple of days were filled with immense pain and grief, suffering. But of course, despite what the weather might tell us, we are in the Easter season right now. It is springtime. We're in the Easter season, and there's one thing that we know that brings us joy, even in the midst of pain. It's that the disciples saw Jesus again, and that changes everything. A little while, and you will see me not. And again, a little while, and you will see me. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because the hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take that joy from you. Jesus is speaking of his resurrection. He's speaking of what would take place just a couple of days later, as their hearts hurt, as they grieved and mourned, as they wondered what is left to live for, what is going to happen now. He would turn their sorrow that Sunday morning into joy, their weeping into laughter, their mourning into dancing. And even through the various trials that they may have to face as they go about the rest of their lives, and if you read through the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, you see many of the trials that they faced, the persecutions, the beatings, the imprisonments, and so on. No one could ever then take that joy away from them, the joy that they had because they saw Jesus face to face. Jesus rose from the dead on that Easter Sunday. He doesn't simply say that they will see him again, but said, I will see you again. With his own eyes, his own resurrected eyes, he said he will see his apostles again. He will behold them face to face. And because of that, because of what took place on that Sunday morning, there will be rejoicing for all eternity. Jesus' resurrection, as we've often said already in this Easter season, means resurrection and life for all of us who are in him. It means that our weeping will also be turned into laughter and our mourning into dancing. Our sorrow turned into joy. We are waiting right now in this time when we do not see Jesus, at least not face to face like his disciples did on that Easter Sunday and for those next 40 days. In a week and a half, we will be commemorating what took place 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days after Easter, and that is Ascension Day. And he ascended into heaven, we're told, that Jesus, after spending 40 days with his disciples, ascended into heaven. We confess it every week as we confess our creed that he ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. But as we wait for this coming again, as we wait for the resurrection of the body, we too often find ourselves grieving and mourning. We too often find ourselves with sorrow. It's not sorrow wondering if he will return. It's not sorrow thinking that he has abandoned us, though our sinful minds at times might suggest that he's abandoned us from time to time. But it's sorrow because as we wait, there's still pain and suffering in this world. There's still death in this world. We still go through trials and tribulations, battling sin and temptation, the evil one. Right now, we are like the mother giving birth, as terrified as I am to compare anything to childbirth, because I know that doesn't normally go very well when men do that. But we are right now like mothers giving birth. This is what Jesus says. We're going through the discomforts, the pains, the anguish, the blood, sweat, and tears of this life. But when the fulfillment comes, like a mother in childbirth, that anguish is gone and the life that is born is celebrated. I don't know all of your anguish today, but it doesn't take much to look around the world and to see sorrow. There's sorrow in many relationships, broken relationships or lost relationships for one reason or another. There's anguish, sorrow, and temptation. We're tempted daily. Daily we fight against the sin of this world and our mortal flesh, seeking to overcome, but so often giving in and living in guilt and regret, knowing that we don't do the things that we should and often do the things that we shouldn't. We watch pain and suffering around the world. People without food and drink, people without homes, people persecuted by evil people. Lives senselessly taken away, thousands and thousands murdered every day, even in our own country, even before they can breathe their first breath. And we suffer our own losses when it comes to death. Death is this cold, hard enemy that seems to bite us all. Whether we're approaching death and facing that coming reality, suffering through sickness and pain, or whether we're grieving, mourning the loss of people that we love, either way, there is sorrow. And it hurts. There's pain. We want the grieving and the pain to stop. We want to have joy. And here's the good news for today. Because the disciples didn't see Jesus for a little while and then saw him again, even our sorrow, our grieving, will turn to joy. The grief and pain in this world will last but a moment, but eternity in joy with our Lord and Savior awaits us. Listen to the words of our second reading from Revelation chapter 21. John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So this is talking about the end. After Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead, and we have the resurrection of the body, and have eternal life with God. And John says, "And I heard a voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." This is the promise that awaits us. This is the promise, not only the promise that awaits us, but the promise that we hold even today. We will see Jesus with our own eyes. We will see him face to face because he has risen from the dead. He has ascended into heaven, and he will come again to bring life and to bring us with him. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who turns our sorrow into joy. Even as Jesus says to his disciples, "I will see you again," I'm reminded of the words of Job. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart fades within me." Because our Redeemer lives, because Jesus has risen again, because he has given life and life to all this world, conquering death and the grave, these words of Job are our words as well. We can have confidence knowing that when that day comes, even after all of the death happens in this world, we in the flesh, with our own eyes, our own resurrected eyes, we'll see him, we'll behold him face to face and not another. We have resurrection and life in Christ. Death has been swallowed up in victory. He suffered, he died, and he rose to make sure that day would come when your pain is no more, when your suffering is no longer. And here's something we need to remember today. First of all, looking at our gospel reading there from John 16, first thing we need to remember is that he has not left us alone until that day. God has not just abandoned the world and left us alone. Rather, we're told very plainly that he will send the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit who is the comforter, the counselor, the one who brings to our remembrance all of the promises of Jesus. God has not abandoned us. He's not left us as orphans. He is still with us. And before Jesus ascends into heaven, what does he say to his disciples? He even says to them, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So we may not see him face to face with our eyes looking into his eyes, but our Lord is still with us. And that alone brings us joy, even in the midst of our grief and our pain and our sorrow. He is still with us. never leaves us nor forsakes us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He is with us as we hear His word, as we gather as the body of Christ, as we turn to Him in prayer, as He feeds us and nourishes us with His word and His sacrament. He is with us. And so we have joy even today, even in the midst of our sorrow. We joyfully anticipate what is to come. And we have joy knowing that this pain right now, these troubles right now, these struggles that we're going through in this life, these things that tear us down, get us down, make us depressed, these things will last for a moment. The promises of Jesus are sure and certain. They are yours, not just in some future reality, even though we're still awaiting that full consummation of what is to come, but they are yours today. For your Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He feeds you and nourishes you, and He holds you in His loving arms. So even today, in the midst of our pain, He turns our sorrow into joy, weeping into laughter, mourning into dancing. For our Lord has risen, and we too shall rise.